Today's passage is Amos chapter 8. This is what the Lord God showed me. Behold, a basket of summer fruit. And he said, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then the Lord said to me, the end has come upon my people Israel. I will never again pass by them. The songs of the temple shall become wailings in that day, declares the Lord God. So many dead bodies, they are thrown everywhere. Silence. Hear this, you who trample on the needy, and bring the poor of the land to an end, saying, when will the new moon be over, that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath, that we may offer wheat for sale, that we may make the ephah small, and the shekel great, and deal deceitfully with false balances, that we may buy the poor for silver, and the needy for a pair of sandals, and sell the chaff of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their deeds. Shall not the land tremble on this account, and everyone mourn who dwells in it? And all of it rise like the Nile, and be tossed about and sink again like the Nile of Egypt. And on that day, declares the Lord God, I will make the sun go down at noon, and darken the earth in broad daylight. I will turn your feasts into mourning, and all your songs into lamentation. I will bring sackcloth on every waist, and baldness on every head. I will make it like the morning for an only son, and the end of it like a bitter day. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea, and from north to east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it. In that day the lovely virgins and the young men shall faint for thirst. Those who swear by the guilt of Samaria and say, as your God lives, O Dan, and as the way of Beersheba lives, they shall fall and never rise again. Throughout the book of Amos, Amos, the shepherd turned prophet, has been speaking God's words of judgment on the nation of Israel. And in this chapter, we get more descriptions of this day of judgment, as well as the end of things as they currently are. Right off the bat, in the first verses here, God shows Amos a visual of what's to come. God asks, what do you see? Amos responds, a basket of summer fruit. To which God replies with a punchline, the end has come upon my people Israel. I will never again pass by them. If you're as confused as I was about what's going on, don't worry. The footnotes provide an explanation. The Hebrew words for end and summer fruit sound alike. It kind of reminds me of a knock-knock joke, with a quick back and forth and a play on words. Except this exchange for the Israelites is not funny at all. God says, the end has come upon my people Israel. I will never again pass by them. All throughout the Bible, God has been faithful to his people, giving them second chance after second chance. Yet, since the Israelites have constantly refused to repent and turn to him, God finally gives them what they are essentially asking for, which is the absence of him. In verse 3, God provides vivid imagery of what the end looks like. The songs of the temple shall become wailings in that day, declares the Lord God. So many dead bodies, they are thrown everywhere. Silence. This is really intense stuff. Where there used to be songs in the temple, now there's dead bodies thrown everywhere, and silence. This is all the result of the sin of God's people, death and destruction. God has called out many of the wrongdoings throughout the book so far, which lead to this situation. And here he names some more. We see the sin of injustice again. Verse 4 mentions trampling on the needy and bringing the poor of the land to an end. In other words, the people are guilty of taking advantage of the poor and needy. For verse 5, they are more concerned about their business than keeping the Sabbath holy. They are just waiting for the Sabbath to be over to get back to work and to make money. And finally, they are cheating the poor by dealing deceitfully with them and treating the poor like objects rather than fellow people that God created. God says all of this sin brings about his judgment, and his judgment will be terrible. The songs are transformed to wailing, feasts transformed to mourning, and people wearing sackcloth will be a common sight. This builds up to verse 11, which we'll focus on today. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And though the people will seek the words of the Lord, they won't find it. Let's reflect on what this means. In this act of judgment, the punishment is not hearing God's words. Worse than not having bread or water, the Israelites would feel the bitterness of being deprived of God's words. And just like fainting for the lack of water, they'll faint for the lack of God's words now. Up till now, God has constantly given his words to the Israelites, whether through the law or through the prophets, and the Israelites have kept ignoring it. But when God finally holds it back from them, then they realize how much they really need it. So the devotional question for us today is, how is our thirst for God's words? Again, how is our thirst for God's words? Sadly, we may have the same attitude as the Israelites sometimes, where you take God's presence for granted and not realize how precious his words are to us. Let's pause and remember how much we need God's words. We instinctively feel our need for food and water, but sometimes we don't realize how thirsty we become for God's words. Perhaps we've been focused more on satisfying our thirst for entertainment or being with friends that we haven't seen for a while. Of course, those aren't bad things, but we should not ignore the most fundamental need in our lives, which is God's presence. If we need to repent for ignoring God's words or just going through the motions in our quiet times, for example, let's do that today. If we need to limit our intake on other things, such as entertainment, perhaps going on a mini fast of sorts, let's commit to that too, if that's necessary. Let's strive for the attitude of the writer of Psalm 42, who says, as a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for this chapter in Amos, and Lord, for this reminder that more than our thirst for water or our need for food, Lord, our thirst for your words is really our biggest thirst. And Lord, sometimes we confess that we don't have it that way. We pay more attention to our thirst for other things of this world. But God, I pray that today you would just redirect our hearts to your words. Help us to take in each of your words that you have for us in the Bible, through prayer, and in other ways, God. Lord, I pray that we would take your word seriously and enjoy the life that you have provided through your words, through your presence. God, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.